In the late 1970s, punk rock was something people might have heard of, but few had heard. It was up to four young men from London, The Clash, to show them what it was about. One of their record company's ad campaigns called them the only band that matters. Today, in the first of two parts, rock historian Ed Ward tells us why.
London's burning! London's burning!
Let's get one thing straight. When it comes to the punk revolution that swept England in 1976 and 77, the Sex Pistols don't count. They were a cute idea, but a manufactured one, and they blew up before they could really make a difference. The Clash, now they mattered. Everything started the night Mick Jones, a kid who desperately wanted to be a pop star, met Bernie Rhodes, a young entrepreneur, in a London club called the Nashville Rooms in 1976. Right away, the two decided to start a band and put an ad in a music paper looking for musicians. Over the next couple of months, various combinations came and went, and Rhodes settled into a management position. Finally, they felt they were good enough to approach an energetic guy who called himself Joe Strummer, whose band the 101ers was falling apart. Rhodes gave him 24 hours to make up his mind, and Strummer came to rehearsal the next day. Now, with the addition of the sharp-dressing bassist Paul Simonon, they had a band. They called themselves The Clash. From the start, they exuded seriousness. Songs like White Riot addressed the race and class issues young Britons found themselves enmeshed in. The career opportunities provided by the Thatcher government, which led to dead-end jobs, became another song. And then there was another song on which perhaps they weren't totally honest. It was a good stance being bored with the USA, but the Clash couldn't help themselves. They had an insatiable curiosity about roots music, be it the urban reggae blasting across London or the mystery of blues and country music from the land that invented rock and roll. They vowed to conquer that country, but there was a small problem. The Clash, as first-generation punkers, never got involved with making their own records as the next wave did. Instead, they signed to CBS, a multinational conglomerate. The company, of course, was eager to have them, and the contract had many favorable clauses in it. But the hitch was that in America, the marketing guys refused to release The Clash's first album, believing nobody would buy it, and not wanting to sully the company's reputation with punk rock. They only relented a year after the record came out, at which point most of the American fans who'd wanted it already had it, and only a few would buy another copy to get the couple of extra tracks they'd slapped on to make it attractive. It was the first of a series of blows which would eventually kill the band. Meanwhile, they dumped their first drummer, Terry Chimes, and replaced him with Topper Hedden, and, loaded with optimism and a healthy infusion of record company cash, went into the studio with an American producer, Sandy Pearlman, who, it was thought, would give them a more radio-friendly album. He succeeded. Give Him Enough Rope debuted at number two on the British charts in November 1978, and the band announced an American tour for the next year. But even songs like Safe European Home, with its sing-along chorus and clear mix, failed to dent American radio, which had had a year to entrench itself against this new music. The Clash weren't worried. As one of their songs said, they were the last gang in town, and they were ready for war.
Ed Ward will be back with part two of his profile of The Clash tomorrow.
job they offer used to keep you up the dock. Career opportunity, the one that never knocked. I hate the Army and I hate the RAF. I don't wanna go fighting in the Germany goo. I hate the seven savage boom. I won't open that bomb for you. Career opportunity, the one that never knocked. Every job they offer used to kick you out the dock. Career opportunity, the one that never never knocked. Every job they offer used to kick you out the door. Career opportunity, the one that never knocked.
Coming up, our linguist Jeff Nunberg on an expression that has caught on in the business world, thought leader. This is Fresh Air.